This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people.
Girl, did you listen to Carlos King's podcast with Anna Marie on it?
No, I'm not really I don't. Is he good? Is it a good podcast? Sounds like I should, maybe.
He has lots of good guests on. I'll give him that.
Okay.
A ton of good guests. And he was a producer, so he's got that intel, right?
Yeah.
It was a wild interview. And I do want to say, in Anna Marie's defense, apparently they did not show any of her family life. She filmed multiple scenes with her family, her husband. They filmed scenes with the other ladies where they questioned her on the trans comments that her husband made. Did not show that. Apparently at the reunion, they also talked about the trans comments. Did not show that.
All right. So in the first beginning, when you were talking there, I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to see her family. Right. I don't want to see her husband.
Right.
I didn't know that they had addressed the trans thing.
Uh-huh. And they did not show us this.
Okay.
What the hell?
I want to know what her response was then, because maybe it was her response that triggered them.
Well,
to cut it out.
It probably was, because she's still standing by the fact that trans people do not belong in
sports.
But I'm like...
She talked about that on the podcast?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
See, I can't say that I blame Bravo for cutting that out then.
I guess. I suppose.
Because that's giving her a platform
to spew her
disgusting rhetoric.
Yeah, that's very true.
I can't believe she is going on a podcast.
It didn't help her.
No.
It didn't help her at all. Those comments aside, which we can't put aside, obviously, impossible. It is sad that they didn't show her mom passing, apparently her adoption trauma. She grew up in Vancouver, Narelle.
We don't claim her.
We do not claim her.
Hold on. I thought that she didn't want to talk about her mom passing.
Apparently she got the news on camera.
Like, she said during the reunion that she was like, no, I wanted to like compartmentalize and keep it separate from the show.
I don't know, okay. Dude. It's shady, but she won't be back, so it doesn't really matter, but I thought, why on earth? Why wouldn't you have questioned her about the trans comments before hiring her? Anyway.
What did Carlos have to say?
He has a mutual friend with her, so it was biased, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I also have one question for you.
Oh, God. Okay. Put me on the spot. Do it.
Have you listened to Cowboy Carter yet? Beyonce's new country album.
Oh, no. I was like, who's he? Cowboy Carter. No, I haven't.
Narelle.
I have heard things. Yeah, okay.
Good things?
You like it? You love it?
Mixed things?
Just things. Not really good or bad. Just like, oh, she's like country now.
Yeah, it's not what you expect. It is the most incredible album I have ever listened to. It's a trip. It's a ride.
Ever?
It's an experience. So Lemonade, for me, listening to Lemonade from start to finish was an experience. The most iconic album of all time, in my opinion. This one, my God, it is, I want to say, almost as good as Lemonade for me. Unbelievable. But the storytelling that Beyonce gives us, the talent, the skill, it's a shocker.
I am going to possibly give you a little bit of a shock here as well and lose all of our listeners. I've never really been a Beyonce fan.
I know you haven't. Just listen to it, though, for the experience.
So I feel like my hands are tied behind my back here because I'm also not really a country fan. Does that matter?
No, not at all.
Okay. So it's not
like,
it's not like country.
It is not country. It's not typical.
And I have heard that one song, yes. that, like Texas or yeah. whatever. That didn't sound too country-ish. So okay.
That's one of the most country-ish on the album, I would say. But I just love her message she's delivering here. Like, just listen to it top to bottom and you're just like, whoa, it tells a story. And I guess the beginning of the album, the beginning songs represent something, and then the middle section represents something else, and then the end also represents something different. The storytelling that this woman does and the deep thoughts that go into it, I can't. It's unreal.
Can we still be friends if I don't like it?
100%. And I don't even okay. care if you don't like the music per se, because I don't love all of the songs.
Okay, you're about the message.
Yeah, I think it's just something everyone needs to listen to.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, then everybody else needs to listen with me.
Yes.
Anyone who hasn't heard it, let us know what you think. I will listen to it this week. And then you ask me about it next week.
Okay.
And I will give you my honest opinion.
Okay. Absolutely.
Mostly.
Mostly. The podcast version of my honest opinion.
All right. Well, we have got a pretty big show because Damn. We are going to be talking about Vanderpump and The Valley, and I enjoyed both of these episodes.
Ooh, are you coming around on The Valley, babes?
I might be. The whole thing about, like, he called me a Republican and it's ruining my life kind of got me. I was like, I might be on board with this.
Well, and I loved when Zach is like, calling someone from L.A. a Republican is like yeah. the highest insult. And I'm like, really? Okay. I mean, we know they're there because there's a lot of rich people in L.A., babe.
Just the ridiculousness. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, we might have a show here. Maybe I'm coming around.
Okay.
And also, stay tuned, guys, because I have figured out who Kristen Doughty's boyfriend looks like. Okay.
It's so good.
We're gonna get into that.
I screamed when Narelle told me.
Because it's spot on. But we are gonna start things off with Vanderpump today. So let's just get started. Vanderpump Rules, season 11, episode 10, Line in the Sand. The girls are working out in the park. We've got emo Katie. She's like out in full force.
Her face killed me.
Yeah. When that woman was like, are you enjoying this, Katie? And she's just like, no.
No. Like, am I supposed to be?
Do you, though, enjoy the whole exercise thing? I never have.
No. I mean, there is something like the accomplishment you feel after feels good. But in the moment, I'm like, I hate everything about this. And it shows.
When you go home and you're like, yeah, I did something good. That's a great feeling. But during? Fuck no. And then Lala kind of turns to Katie in this moment and says, oh, I'm having a water tasting and I invited Tom Sandoval. We didn't even get to see Katie's reaction. They just like cut away. I'm pretty sure she would have said something.
Interesting.
There was a few moments in this episode that we didn't get to see that I'm a little bit irritated by, to be honest.
That's curious. Do you think maybe they're trying to make Katie look more likable by not showing that?
That would be a first.
So it would be a first.
I don't know if Alex Baskin has that in him. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Something to think about. So we flash over after this to Ariana. Anne has come over for, I mean, obviously it was an interview.
Yeah.
But she told Tom that it was like an advice. I'm just going to give her some advice. But I happen to be dressed up in a suit that you've never seen me in before. And I'm going to be talking to her right downstairs within full earshot of your door. What was Ariana thinking? What was Anne thinking?
Seriously. Ever heard of a coffee shop, guys? Like, it was ridiculous.
Right?
I didn't like it. I didn't like this part. I thought this was a bit in your face for both of them. And then they're like, poor Anne, Tom let her go for 2 days or like put her on a break for 2 days.
This is the other thing, though. This is a clip I would have liked to see. I want to see Tom yelling at Anne and putting her into tears. Why are you protecting Tom?
Show us Anne crying in the kitchen like you were talking about. I know. It is weird.
it obviously happened right after. So like, the cameras were there to have picked it up, but we don't get to see that side because they're doing their best to protect this man. Mm-hmm. And I did think, like, Ariana made a good point. It was petty as fuck. But when she said, like, you fuck my friend, I poach your assistant. Yes.
All is fair in love and war.
How about you, like, snipe her from the side? Like you said, go to a coffee shop.
Please.
Make arrangements to, you know, you can start working for me once I move out of the house, because then it's just going to be better for both of us. You'll be able to keep your job until then. But this just seemed reckless.
Yeah.
Weirdly reckless.
A bit of a punishment. And the fact Sandoval was eavesdropping. Okay, I'm going to blame Sandoval for almost anything. I can't blame him for this, because I would fucking be eavesdropping as well.
No, I know. You literally walk out of your door and you hear them talking and having an interview. It's not really eavesdropping if it's in your house and it's happening 5 feet away.
My first thought was, I guess that sound machine only works one way.
Right. Like, it would have been eavesdropping if he showed up to the coffee shop and sat down behind them while they were having the interview. That's eavesdropping. Doing it outside of his fucking door, that's not eavesdropping. That is just weird behavior.
That's a living, yeah.
It's just, it is, it's weird to
me. It's a bit scripted, in my opinion, is how I felt about this whole thing.
Yeah. There were a few very scripted moments in this episode.
Yes, there were. I know. And this is what I don't like about Vanderpump right now. I like so much of it. They're trying all the things.
They're trying too hard and they're trying too soon, I think, to make things happen. Like, maybe they should have actually taken more of a pause before filming.
Or not paused at all.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
And then let it naturally progress. It's this forcing of situations and forcing cast members to, it's a little bit explosive in a really annoying way. Katie, meanwhile, pretty irked with Sheena that she was tracking Max's whereabouts. I know I mentioned this last week. Did I mention this last week or did I tell you that I suspect Sheena?
I think you told me. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, if I didn't tell everybody else my suspicions, I am 100% sure that the reason crazy Sheena is tracking Max is out of jealousy. I think that she saw them hitting it off. She even mentioned, like, oh, it was so obvious. I think this was during the after show. It was so obvious that they were hitting it off that night. And I just wanted to make sure he got home safe. Like, no, you didn't. You were jealous. You still feel possessive over Max.
Over anyone of her exes. She is a stalker.
So she is an actual stalker.
Literal. Like, she call gives it what it is. Stalker vibes. But this is stalker behavior, okay?
So I have a question. I was talking to a friend, and she said that you can turn that off.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely, you can. But you kind of forget, because unless you're in there, like a Sheena, every day, looking at people's locations.
You don't really.
No, it doesn't pop up. Nothing really happens.
It's not like a running list of, like, no. So-and-so is.
Okay. No, not at all.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I bet Max has turned it off now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I love it.
And then we got to quickly touch on Schwartz over with Brock and Sheena. First of all,
girl,
can you imagine having Schwartz as a dad?
I mean, in a weird way, I kind of can. He's like a child, so it would be just like another playmate.
Imagine him being responsible for somebody's life with no one else around.
Well, I don't think he could pull it off.
No, what if him and Joe were the parents?
Good God, that is a terrifying thought. Narelle. They'd have their own language.
Well, the child would be bilingual, so that's good. So I'm really starting to pick up in this episode, Brock.
Oh.
And his opinion about the girls. He is not a fan of Katie. He's not a fan of Ariana. He is trying his darndest to make what Katie did with Max equal to what Schwartz did with Rachel.
Yep.
Let's not forget, like, if we reverse back to the wedding, to the scene where Rachel and Tom were like off in the corner at that table kissing, like Brock is in the background, like cheering them on. Whereas when Katie does something like a year later, when there's no agreement in place, he's like, oh, basically, what a slut.
Brock's misogyny is rampant in this. Rampant. It's rampant. It's there. It's alive. And a wise friend once told me, the opinion your spouse has about your friends is actually your opinion about those people. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And it just makes Sheena look even worse. Like, I'm not going to blame her for the words coming out of Brock's mouth, per se. That's on him. They're both, like, the most misogynistic people on the show. And, well, let's throw the Toms in there as well. Oh, and Lisa Vanderpump. Oh, and Lala. Okay.
And the producers and the editors.
It's honestly so disturbing to me how they're getting away with it. And it's all of them, except Katie and Allie.
And the fact that whenever these women don't follow that narrative, they are referred to as like mean or nasty or whatever. Like, it's bullshit, you guys. And I hope nobody's falling for it. I know they are.
They are.
I hope none of our listeners are falling for it. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about Schwartz trying to refer to Rachel as a fringe friend? Like, Max is his best friend.
That was so odd. But Rachel
was a fringe friend. Yeah.
She was hardly part of the friend group. And I'm like, what? She wasn't? She seemed to go on all of your cast trips.
She was talking about how they were her core friends.
Yeah.
And her best friends. And regardless, even if she was a fringe friend, she was part of the cast. I think that makes it worse.
I mean, Max is a bit of a, what's the word?
Fuckboy?
Max likes to hook up with people quite a bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. That I do understand. Okay, that's your best friend. That's on Max. Katie doesn't owe you shit. Okay?
No. You get mad at your friend and you have this conversation about your friend. Don't be talking about Katie as if she did anything wrong.
Yeah.
After this, everybody shows up to James's for Lala's water tasting, including Martin the water guy.
I loved him.
I loved him too.
The Harry Potter of waters.
He was so good. I was not expecting that accent to come out of his mouth.
No. I cackled when James is like, he saw me. He saw me looking at him. And I'm like, that is so something Narelle and I would do.
Allie, I'm so embarrassed.
I know. And his face was bright red. You could tell he was honestly embarrassed.
If that was you and me and we did that, I would phone Lala and be like, I'm sorry, we are in the car and we've already left.
We killed Martin.
The party's over.
We took the water and
we drowned. We drowned him in the water and it just got out of hand. I don't know what happened.
Martin will but never we were embarrassed. Speak of this again.
Yeah. So right off the bat, Brock goes up to Katie and he apologizes.
And he says he was hammered, which I did think he was last week.
You did mention that and I didn't think he was. Yeah.
He did seem very hammered, but like we pointed out, it doesn't matter because in his confessional, he's saying it even more so.
He's not apologetic. So why is he apologizing?
And Katie thinks it's payback. And it seems to be because he even mentioned last year to Sheena, he's like, remember, she wanted your world to burn. So he's holding on to some underlying tension that I think Katie has definitely moved on from.
Like you mentioned before, with how your wise friend told you your spouse's opinion is actually your own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that Brock's anger, specifically towards Ariana, has to do with the fact that he feels like Ariana has like stolen away Sheena's opportunities, aka his sugar mama's opportunities, his own wallet, his own bottom line. Like, I think there's a lot of resentment there. Yeah. And the fact that Katie and Ariana don't seem to be taking the show, quote unquote, seriously anymore.
Yeah.
Brock is like coming in, like he wants to cement himself into the cast here.
Mm-hmm.
And he really seems to be taking it all out on the women, which, yeah. Not a fan.
That is a very, very good point. Because as we see throughout this entire episode, the theme of it is basically for most of this cast, money and income equates to happiness and success. And I think Ariana and Katie are both like, we're still in the hurt phase. Sure, the money is a nice little perk from all of this like horrible torture and heartache, but I don't give a fuck about the money. I don't want this to happen to other people. I am mad about it. I'm sad about it. But people hate an angry woman.
And honestly, the way that they're going about it and the behavior that they're exhibiting towards Ariana specifically, if you flipped the script and let's say Ariana was depressed and like laying in the dark in a fetal position and she was crying and stopped showing up for social events, like, I don't think people would be angry anymore. They would be, oh, poor Ariana, Tom, you're so evil, Tom. Like, it's because Ariana is not behaving the way they think a wounded woman should behave.
Correct.
They're lashing out on her, and that's disgusting.
We don't like strong women. We like weak women. And I know we talk about misogyny a lot and internalized misogyny, and it is something that I have recently kind of dabbled with myself because it exists in all of us, whether you admit it or not. It's the social constructs, all of those things that impact our lives on a daily basis that make us view women in a different way than we do men. Sandoval breathes the thought of suicide, trigger warning, sorry, of suicide. And all of a sudden, we're all friends with Sandoval again. Ariana, while she was with Sandoval, being pretty much, I'm going to say manipulated, possibly mentally abused by him, where was the outrage then? Okay, they had it then. But it's only because they hated him as well for what he did to them.
He used her suicidal feelings to manipulate everybody else into feeling a certain way about Ariana in the moment because it suited his narrative.
To paint her as not a weak person, but a pathetic person.
And that somehow stopped him. Like, I couldn't actually break up with her because she was suicidal. But then, you know, when I'm suicidal, this is why I said, and I felt a little bit bad, like this was episodes ago, where he was having those conversations with Lisa, he weaponizes it. And I'm not okay with that. I'm not saying I don't believe he doesn't feel that way.
I agree with you, because it's not the only situation where he weaponizes feelings or emotions or situations against people. So he's a piece of shit, man. And I can't stand that these people are defending him. I don't understand it. I'm okay with Ariana being angry. Is it an easy watch? Let's say that. Let's ask that genuinely. Not overly. Just like at the reunion, I felt there was so much hatred and vitriol towards Sandoval from Ariana and all of them that no, it wasn't an easy watch for me. I don't like that feeling. It's uncomfortable, but it's real and it's warranted. She's allowed to feel that way.
She's allowed to feel that way. It's 3 or 4 months post-cheating scandal, and now she's being forced into situations with her ex who did the cheating. Anybody who is seeing Ariana as being like a mean, petty, arrogant, you know, kind of woman needs to really imagine themselves in her shoes. Like, he cheated on her after her dog died while she was at her grandma's funeral.
Dude, the lowest of lows.
Now she has to go to the beach. She has to go to a water party with this man. And everybody's acting all surprised when she loses her goddamn mind. I would have thrown him through a window, honestly. I don't condone violence, but I would have. It's too soon.
It is. And like, I think as she even mentioned, at their home, they have their separate spaces. They do not have to engage. But now she has to sit there and listen to Sandoval. As we all saw him trying to act like a fucking hero, chasing down the pizza guy for the ranch.
Oh my God. Okay.
Like, I rolled my eyes as well.
It's those moments where that is not classic behavior for Sandoval. He never would have done that. And that would be irritating the crap out of her. So I would mention it too. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Look at this man running down the road, screaming for ranch. Like, he's just doing too much.
I mean, it is a good cause. Okay. It's a great cause. Run for ranch is wonderful, but really.
He makes that comment about how, you know, it's really like hard to be like a wallflower and like hide in the corner when like she's, you know, talking about me to people and I hear it. Are you being a wallflower, though, when you're barreling through the door and chasing after the pizza man for some sauce? I don't think that's wallflower behavior. And he keeps walking past. He's not hiding outside. He wants to engage with her. He's just waiting for a moment.
That's intimidating behavior. And you're right. He wants to engage with her. You know what pissed me off so much? Ariana is talking to Lala. She's like, oh my God, he's trying so hard. He's doing all of these things. And Lala's like, I need pizza. I gotta get up. I gotta go. I need pizza.
That would have pissed me off too. Ooh. If I was Ariana.
Girl code broken.
Tom goes outside after this and he's like telling the guys what Ariana said to T, his new girl, and how tacky he thought it was. But I mean, you could also maybe say it was tacky to bring T to the bar where your ex was and then bring her up to where your ex is and then leave her there and walk away. Like, why was there even an opportunity for Ariana to talk to T one-on-one like that? I think that was tacky. And Brock tells Tom that, you know, this is a conversation for you to have with Ariana, not with us. And you have to learn how to talk to her. This part.
Oh.
I was like, really, bro? You're going to give that advice to Tom? How about you take that advice yourself and talk to those kids you abandoned a few years ago? Like, honestly,
it's true.
For real, it's true. And it's, you're being a little hypocritical here. You're giving yourself these accolades and you're acting as if you're the voice of reason. But you're not adopting that into your own life. So I can't take you seriously.
Those who throw stones.
He hasn't talked to his kids for like years. So,
yeah, I mean, to even put yourself on a reality TV show after doing that is bold, to say the least. Yeah. What did you think of Katie and Schwartz this episode?
I thought it was really weird to see them have like more chemistry now than they ever had when they were together.
I'm like, are they in love? Like, are they like in hate love?
First of all, pretty sure Katie was not sober whatsoever. Okay. This entire party. She was either very stoned or drunk.
Okay.
Also thought her going out for water, like, that was so producer driven. She's like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. You just happen to be here. We're out here by ourselves. Like, and then my other thought was that I really don't think Tom gives a flying fuck that Katie hooked up with Max. He's not jealous. He does not care at all. However, I think that he wants to drive home the fact that he now, for some reason, feels as if they are equal.
Yes.
Like, what you did is just as bad as what I did. We're the same now, Katie. Mm-hmm. And he loves that.
Oh, he fucking loves it. I agree with you. I don't think he cares that she fucked Max. I think he cares more that Max fucked Katie in a weird way. But it also feels like there's just not that much closure here, especially on Schwartz's side. He's talking about wanting kids this episode. Like, I hate my life now. Mama.
He has to be looking at Katie, who has gone on post-breakup, post-divorce, and she has flourished.
Oh, yes. She is a better person.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, business-wise, she has really bloomed into a beautiful version of herself. Mm-hmm. What has Schwartz done? He went down in a blazing explosion with his cheating best friend. He was dating somebody, a spooky person who has crackhead energy. He
looks like Elf right now. Will Ferrell from Elf.
Oh my God, he does. He got really into plants, maybe.
That's
like plant dad true. Now. Yeah, like, I think he has to be looking at this woman and being like, I fumbled the bag a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe if I would have nurtured who she was as a woman, I could have had this version of Katie rather than the one I beat down and abused and cheated on. And
then asking to go to dinner with her.
Oh, my God. I mean,
is that just the people pleaser in him?
I mean, kind of. That is just his little shtick.
He's just so cute.
Oh, he's so cute. All the chuckles. He's just so giggly and funny.
Uncle Fester.
So inside, Ariana is explaining to everyone that Tom is basically letting Anne go or fired her and that Anne was in tears. Except the way that she framed it, as Tom was walking by was that he was, you know, the attempted dog murderer.
Was eavesdropping. I loved it.
As he's eavesdropping again, walking by.
Okay, that is epic.
Yeah, but listen, first of all, she's not really wrong. Maybe she's a little bit wrong. He's not really a dog murderer.
No, he's not a dog murderer. Well, this dog.
I'm not going to necessarily say that he did it on purpose, but he's definitely not a dog carer. He's not a dog lover. He did not behave in that dog's best interest or even have any thought whatsoever for Maya's safety. I would be livid if that was me and I was in Ariana's shoes as well. Second of all, it's funny to me that everybody sitting in that room is so surprised and like shocked, just judgmental at Ariana's reaction and her behavior here, when this is what they have wanted the entire fucking season so far. Like, this is what happens when you force somebody to be in the same room as someone who did them so fucking dirty. She has not moved on. She is still full of anger. What did you expect?
Lala, you're still talking about Rand every episode. You're still using it as your storyline. You're still talking about him on your podcast.
Yes.
Get the fuck over yourself. Do not hate on Ariana. This is fresh. This is like 4 months down the line. James, you're pissing me off about it too. Allie and Katie are the only ones with appropriate reactions.
Yeah.
I still think of Lala and James at that reunion and I can't let it go. How can you possibly go from that to defending this man?
Like in the after shows, I will say James has been the one to kind of defend Ariana.
Okay.
And also, shockingly, in the after show for this episode, I did think Sheena was a little bit defensive of Ariana as well. So I appreciated that. I'm not too big of a person to admit that Sheena gained a point there with me.
Okay. And she did
it with Brock too.
Earlier. Yes, she did a little bit earlier. She's like, dude, you know how you have a short fuse for like nothing? Look at her. She's allowed. Yeah, I don't know. I can absolutely imagine this is like a pot boiling over. These two have avoided each other at all cost. They're being forced into it. They're playing a little game of what's in my mental list of things that are annoying me about you. And now it's just all coming out from both sides. Like, you do this in the house and you do that and you... I get it. Any normal person would do this. Sandoval can do it. Ariana can also do it. And not look like a villain.
I think that's a really good point, too, because this very well might be the first time Ariana has been able to express to him face to face about what he did with Maya.
Totally.
I don't know what part it was in the episode. I think it was earlier on. I think he's with the guys and he said, you know, the dog's like not dead. Like, it's fine. Like, nothing really happened. Like, this is so like ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, that's because Ariana took her to the emergency vet and paid $6,000 to have the shit removed from her dog.
While you were out brunching with Lala, James, and Schwartz.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
I did notice that Tom never denied it. He never was like, I didn't do that. He just completely lays in with the fact that it was an accident and whatever. Like, why didn't he go to the hospital with the dog?
Probably didn't even notice. Probably didn't fucking notice. Locked her in the room and took off to brunch.
Apparently it was Anne who noticed, who called and told Ariana.
And she knew she had to call Ariana and not Tom.
Yeah.
That says everything.
Things descend real quick here. Ariana threatens to call 911.
Yeah.
So Tom grabs both of his purses and runs away.
I loved it. James ran after him like, dude, man, I'm sorry it happened this way. Don't apologize to him. He instigated it. He was lurking around her, and she kept saying, like, get the fuck away from me. I felt her rage, and I needed to see it again because it's a good reminder of how much this man has hurt her. A lot of people are saying, Ariana is not over Tom. She is making it seem like they're still in a relationship. No. What it to me, it seems like, is this is a woman who got her heart broken. Just because Sandoval says we weren't having sex, we weren't in a healthy relationship, doesn't negate the fact that Ariana was still in love with Tom, still wanted to be with Tom, wanted to work things out with Tom.
Was planning to have children with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, harvest her eggs. Like, you don't do that unless you see a future with a man.
You don't.
And he knew that. He was pretending to go along with it while cheating on her. The betrayal, the level of betrayal. And we're only 4 months later. And there she's being forced to go to these stupid little functions, water tasting, beach parties.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is. Did you hear what Lala said on her podcast about Ariana?
God, no. I don't listen to her podcast anymore. What'd she say?
No, I saw this on the Twitters.
It's going to make me angry. It's going to make me angry.
Probably. She stated, Ariana sat back while Tom was misogynistic toward other women on the cast, especially her, for years. She never spoke up, and now she wants support. Okay, well, I do think we didn't see Ariana stand up to Tom as much as we probably would have liked to. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Lala is only hating on Ariana in this case.
It's just gonna say, okay, all right, let's say that's true. Why are you still going towards Tom then, the misogynistic man who's been putting you down? Why are you blaming Ariana for that?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Most people function with they can't see things until it happens to them. And it's a normal human process. And I think empathy and all of that can only take you so far. And experience is really what bonds people. And Ariana's feeling the Tom experience right now. And she's looking around the room going, you felt it from him. You felt it from him. Why can't you guys just be on my side and see where I'm coming from? But they're not. They're like, get over it. And that's petty. That is petty.
That is petty.
That is vindictive.
Yes. Say it louder for the people in the back. Ariana is reacting in anger and hurt. She's allowed to do that. That doesn't make her behavior inappropriate in a situation like this. It is very understandable. Her reaction is incredibly... I mean, maybe not the calling 911. That was what are they going to do?
What are they going to do? They're like, oh, this guy again?
Yeah. Take away his purses? Search him? I don't know. But yeah, so... Just wanted to quickly touch base with the interior decorator coming over.
Okay, yeah.
I thought this was so fucking clever on Ariana's part. She is doing this so much smarter than Tom is. Like, she brought in a professional interior decorator to vouch for the fact that she paid for everything in the house. And she got that on camera. And now we all know that Ariana paid for everything.
Yeah.
But she's actually going about this whole situation. It's like night and day between the two of them. He's sending out an email in the middle of the night to her personal email. She's responding with a lawyer and a professional and coming in and doing a tally of everything that she's, you know, been a part of and everything that she's paid for. And he's really going to get smacked in the face when they're comes time to like split shit up.
She's getting her ducks in a row. It's a process that cannot be rushed. Anyone who's gone through divorce, separation, it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
People like Lala who run away in the middle of the night, it's because you didn't really have a 50-50 marriage. It's not the same thing. That was Randall's house.
With his possessions.
With his possessions. This is a completely different situation. So...
Yeah. Why she can't get that is honestly so fucking beyond me.
It seems intentional at this point. It seems intentional.
Well, she thinks people are stupid, clearly.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna head over to the super fun beach party now. Boop. Okay, the stripy crochet shirt, though. That
got dead.
Everyone's like, is he coming? And Ariana said, well, you know, I saw his stripy crochet shirt in the dryer. So obviously, yes, he's on his way to the beach.
Then he just rolls up. Hey, dudes, what's going on? Fun beach day.
And this is another scene where, you know, it's been purposely set up to force an interaction between Ariana and Tom. It's a little bit annoying. What annoyed me more was Brock.
Brock. Dude, awful. Awful, inappropriate.
Don't be asking those questions.
About Raquel? Rachel?
Like, I guess Tom kind of started it off because he was like, oh, so I'm going to this like singles event. Mm-hmm. I'm like going to go like, you know, so I want to like get my dick wet, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Brock, yeah, fucking asks about, I'm like, what are you doing? She's so right there. You're obviously trying to goad a reaction from her. And then you get one. And then you're like, oh, that was inappropriate, Ariana.
Exactly. You're mad about her being mad. Make it make sense.
Yeah. I found it interesting, too, that Sandoval seemed to possibly lie about the fact that he didn't know Sheena and Schwartz made out.
I know. That's his default. Schwartz. Lying.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I believed him when he said it. And then they show a clip of Schwartz being like, I told him right away or something. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Even though I know he's a liar, he's so good at it.
He's so convincing.
I believe him. They switch over to another very tense topic, which is the pets.
The pets.
And who really owns them? And James is kind of feeding into this a little bit too. Like, well, are you going to fight for her?
He's doing the same thing Brock did, really, just in a more delicate way.
Yeah. And I think also James has this weird stake in it because of what he went through with Rachel and their dog.
Uh-huh.
And so he's probably relating some weird dynamic play out here. And I think that's really why he was like, are you going to fight for her? Like, what are you going to do?
Like you did, James? Just kidding. Sorry. Lisa fought for him.
From my opinion, Maya is Ariana's dog through and through.
Yes. I mean, come on. He doesn't even like her. He locked her in a room for hours.
And then who took her to the hospital?
Exactly.
Ariana, her mom did. In the after show, he has this like little tearful moment where he talks about how much he misses Maya.
What?
And, you know, we like used to like cuddle in the mornings and stuff. And like we played hide and seek. We played so many games. And I'm like, yeah, you would think that that is what being a dog dad would be about.
Cuddles and hide and seek.
Cuddles and games. That's what you think being a pet owner is all about. Whereas Ariana's the one paying for all the vet bills, cleaning the, you know, litter trays, even though he doesn't think she does, and taking them to emergency, paying for their surgery. Yeah. Like, that is what you do. Tom is fucking clueless. But, you know, I did find it interesting, too, how Ariana asked the guys to step in and defend her.
I loved it.
And pointed out the fact, you know, he is so misogynistic. He will only respond to a man telling him to back off.
Spot on.
Because he does not respect women.
Truer words can never be spoken.
And yet, none of them ever will.
They won't. The men in this group won't. James, I thought, would, but I think he's done with that now because he just wants Ariana to choose inner peace. And he says it in a way that I think it's a guy's. Like, this would be better for Ariana, so I'm still kind of team Ariana. But he doesn't like seeing an angry woman either.
No. The way he phrased it, too, he said, I just think it would be better for Ariana if she released this anger.
Right.
And I'm like, what do you think she's doing?
Yeah. She's releasing.
Literally what she's doing.
Yeah.
What he's actually suggesting she do is swallow her anger, move past her anger, and pretend as if that anger doesn't exist because that's much more pleasant. Yeah. For everybody else involved.
Pathetic.
She has a right to be angry. It's too soon. If this was like 3 years down the line.
Like Lala and Randall.
Different
story. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And she can't move on because she's still in the house, but she has to be in the house. So anyway.
Yeah.
The whole thing's ridiculous. It's a great episode. It's so fascinating to watch. I just feel bad for Ariana.
Next week is going to be an emotional one, I think. I saw a preview.
Really?
Yeah, I think Ariana breaks down. Like, there's tears. Oh. She's crying. Oh. She's really getting to the root of why she's so upset with Sandoval. But interestingly, it's with Sheena and Lala, and they're very, supportive and very kind of, like, bonding together. Mm. And yet they still go on, like, months later in the after show to...
I just feel...
The hell are you doing?
No, I just can't believe that they witnessed their best friend. Best friend. Sorry. Sorry. This is my shocked face.
I legit was watching Sarah and I thought you were... there was an earthquake. You looked terrified.
I was horrified. Horrified.
they go on after that months later to say all of the things that they've said on their podcast, all of the things that they've said about how she needs to just move on and, you know, buy a house, get out of there. You've got money, like leave it. After seeing this woman break down into tears, it's going to be interesting to watch.
I just hope Ariana moves on from this show after this season, if she wants to.
I don't think coming back would be very good for her.
Truly. No. Because we know Sandoval's never going to leave. So, well, guys.
So, yeah, guys. That is Vanderpump Rules for this week.
I feel like our Vanderpump episodes are so heavy. I'm sorry, everyone, but the Valley is not going to be heavy because it's just so ridiculous.
The Valley, yeah, it really kind of, I mean, I haven't been the biggest fan. We are only 3 episodes in, but this
it's true.
Episode, I was engaged a lot more than I have been.
Let's do it. Valley time. All right, The Valley, season 1, episode 3, Doubting Duty. What's her name?
Doughty. It's Doubting Doughty. That's the pun.
Oh my God, I'm such a loser. Doubting Doughty.
I think so. Kristen Doughty. Kristen Doughty.
Kristen Doughty, yes. It might be okay. Like when I see it.
Doughty.
Doughty.
Doughty?
Duty?
It's not Doughty. It's not Doughty.
Doubting Doughty. Let's carry on from that. So we're picking up with the aftermath of last week's girls' night. And Janet told Jasmine that Michelle is racist and Republican. And this is what Kristen is telling the whole group. And Jasmine's like, excuse me? Do not involve me in this shit?
Yeah.
Especially as a Black woman. Let's keep in mind this is also happening at Michelle's house. And Janet isn't even fucking there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Very unbelievable. And I think because Michelle ends up calling Janet to talk to her about this and to kind of ask her, you know, what did you say or like what really happened? And Janet said in a confessional, I think, that she believes there's more to why Kristen and Alex broke up and that essentially Kristen is using this as like a smokescreen.
Uh-huh.
She felt cornered. And Kristen does say later on in the show, like, I felt cornered and I just started saying this stuff through a smoke bomb out of nowhere. Like, starts talking about this. And that is kind of a Doughty special.
It is a Doughty special. That is Kristen's whole MO, just to distract from her own issues. I felt really bad for Michelle. She tells us, you know, I'm first generation Mexican and Persian and like to imply that I'm racist is just awful. I believe Janet.
I do believe Janet as well in this moment. Like I was watching it and I'm like, I absolutely believe like everything she's saying about Kristen, like how she, Janet tried to put up a boundary and Kristen was not happy about that. I'm like, yep. Okay. I could see that. Historically speaking, Kristen does not love a boundary. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, she changed the narrative about her relationship with Alex and the breakup with Alex. And she doesn't want that getting out. And now she's playing a victim.
Michelle saying at the end of this scene where she was like, and like, even if I was a Republican, who cares? I'm like, oh, you are. You okay. are a Republican. Mm-hmm. Only a Republican would say that.
Probably.
Not, I mean, I don't care. I don't have any skin in this American political game, so I can just judge from afar. But I did find that a little bit telling.
Well, and then Kristen threw Zach under the bus entirely.
Mm. Yep.
And there is something that was said here. So we'll talk about it when it comes up again, but it is like a game of telephone. I really love Nia and Danny's relationship. It's really all I have to say about it, but you can tell he respects her as a woman, as a mother, as a person, and she loves him.
Yeah, I do too, especially in juxtaposition to Michelle and Jesse. You've got two polar opposites.
Or Jax and Brittany.
Or Jax, yep, that's true. They haven't really revealed themselves yet. They're still hiding behind the whole, we're a great family, and I just love my man, and things are so great over here at the household. So we'll get into them, hopefully, soon in this season. But yeah, I freaking love Danny and Nia. I also love, I like Janet and Daniel.
Yes. Sure. I think it is Daniel. No.
Oh, my God, you guys.
I know.
New people and new names are hard.
It's so hard. I had them all written down, but
there's
then I
too
forgot.
Many.
But I love them as a couple as well.
So Kristen and Luke are moving down the hall. And right. You guys, I have figured out who Luke looks like. Now, this might be a millennial thing or a Gen X thing. I want you guys to go back in your memories to Home Alone, Old Man Marley, the shovel guy, the fucking shovel guy.
It's uncanny. Google it.
There has to be a relation. There has to be some kind of DNA.
The eyes.
When
everything.
He is going after that guy with the shovel, and his eyes kind of go. It's
Luke. Like.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too bad because I think Old Man Marley has passed away. So
bless you.
I don't want to speak ill of the shovel man, but Luke looks just like him. And I'm not alone. I talked to you about this last week, and then I've seen people talking about it on Reddit. I'm like,
what?
Yeah. So it's a thing. It is an actual thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty proud of myself because that was really bothering me.
Oh, it was bothering me too. I'm like, who? Danny DeVito? Like, I had the stupidest guesses, but.
So in this scene, Danny DeVito?
Whatever.
DeVito? Wow. Where was I? In this scene with Kristen, I flopped. And I'm like, fuck, now I kind of believe her a little bit.
There's something about Kristen that is so fucking convincing.
She's very genuine.
It's like the truth teller that we all hate.
Yeah, I think it's a case of she really believes what she's saying. It's just wrong.
Yeah, you know what? That is probably exactly it. And I do think she conflates things and exaggerates things.
And twists things and misunderstands things.
Just like they're all saying she does.
Yeah.
They're legitimately all accusing her of that. So Jax goes to his pop-up bar, I guess, but it didn't really look like a pop-up bar.
Circus tent. Yeah, that was
the leaves, the bartenders, he's just so creepy to me. And he can't hide it.
He's not even investing money. I thought this was just a money investment thing for him. How is he making money?
For a storyline.
But like he has to be making some kind of money. He's just the face of it, I guess. Like, loaning his name.
I guess.
Name.
Who would choose Jax?
That's what I mean. And who would choose him to the point of paying for everything? And he doesn't have to pay for anything.
And he loves it. He thinks he's so clever. And when he ends up not getting anything out of it at the end, I think that he's going to be like, wow, they really fucked me over. Because he's so dumb.
Yeah.
He's just
so dumb. Well, I'm glad that he got the tent that he deserved because... That thing just looks like a tent set up in the alley behind another bar.
Well, yeah. I mean, for Jax, it's great. So Brittany and Kristen meet up. And I was kind of shocked because they went at it pretty hard the night before. But then they're like, hey, girl, you look so great.
Hey, I got us some churros. Come on, try one.
What was that? I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then Britt tells Kristen, like, Janet is real pissed at you.
Yeah, she's pissed.
Why? Why? And, okay. I just started getting this weird, horrible vibe. Is this Kristen's way of addressing her past by bringing it up and accusing someone else of this? I mean, it just keeps kind of coming up in correlation to her own situation. Now she has another partner in crime.
Yeah, I was an interesting storyline for her to lay into so soon into their show. Yeah, I don't know. I very much enjoyed the phone call with Zach here.
Loved it. I love him. I do.
So, first of all, it does seem that Zach is saying he never said any of that and that Kristen is turning his words around, like twisting his words around. But then in a confessional, Zach makes the comment of how Kristen just can't keep a secret. And I'm like,
exactly.
That's interesting. So did you or didn't you?
Why are you saying that, Zach? He's like, you know, I said she was Republican, but I did say she was racist. But then again, at the end, he's like, being called a Republican in L.A. is like
death sentence.
Scarlet letter. Yes. And I'm like, okay.
So you know what the word means. Like, you know the insinuation you're making.
Yeah. I think little Zach probably had one too many cocktails and maybe was like, she's a Republican, and maybe she...
And he was probably like, you know what that means.
Yes, we all know that implication to some degree.
Kristen spit that out.
Because we see the flashback where he's literally like...
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. And she's like, okay, got it. She accuses him of throwing her under the bus, and he's like, you're the bus driver. I'm like, okay, Lego Man has a point. That's pretty good. Pretty good analogy. You're driving over all these dead bodies.
Yes. I really like Zach, though, for the show. I think he's good TV.
Oh, I do. I just can't take his hair seriously. It looks like he's wearing a hair hat.
Okay, but does Jesse have weird hair also? Because I saw something, and I'm like,
I haven't noticed.
Okay. I need to look into it more before I accuse anything.
Zach's hair has an actual hat brim.
People call it the Teresa Giudice.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But hers is real. She paid to have it removed. Yeah, he paid to have it put on.
God. Okay. We're going to move over to something a little more serious, and that's Michelle and Jesse and their love coach, their marriage coach. As we know, they are divorced now, but it is destined for that. Because you can tell right away, Michelle sees this coach. She's like, hi, big hugs. And then she sits down next to Jesse. She's like, I hate you. I really hate you. She says none of her needs are being met by Jesse. She's very lonely raising a child. Jesse is very hard and critical of her. Nothing is ever enough. And he's also very OCD about the house. I'm like, wow, sounds delightful.
It sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Dude.
I think maybe the best part of this entire scene here was when Jesse says to the camera during a confessional, I don't know, if I was a better person and a better man and a better husband, like, would it have even made a difference?
Would it?
Probably. Probably would have made a lot of difference. Yeah. Yes.
Narelle, yeah. He's ridiculous.
He's so ridiculous.
He does it. He thinks she treats him like crap as well. And I'm like, yes, she might, but because you started it, Sandoval, don't you understand?
He has that classic idea that some men have where if you insert enough nice coins, enough like kindness coins, then the sex vending machine is going to pay out. And women can see that from a mile away. It does not make us feel sexy. It does not make us feel wanted or cared for or cherished. It makes us feel disgusting and irritated and annoyed.
And used.
And used.
He is a user. He wants his shiny, beautiful arm candy. Yeah. And she knows it. He doesn't want to be a parent. Last week, he's like, yeah, you just yell at your kid to get them to do what you want. I can imagine how lonely that would be for her. I feel bad for Michelle.
And the life coach calls him out on it. And I liked that.
I loved him.
Therapy sessions, which like I think all of these are always fake whenever I see a therapist agree to go on camera. But he was one of the better ones, honestly.
I agree. I really enjoyed him. I thought he held him to task, but he just took no accountability. And I think watching their marriage crumble is going to be sad because I think she's going to be sad. I don't think he is, though.
I wonder if she is, though, because she seems tired.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, he's just a fucking nightmare. So
he's Jax 2.0 for sure.
Maybe worse. Like, I don't know what it says about you as an individual if you make me look at you worse than I'm looking at Jax. Okay.
You know what it is? Because he's more calculated and smarter.
Smarter, and yeah.
Jax just wears it all, says it all.
There definitely is a level of intelligence with Jesse that Jax doesn't have. And so Jax is still sinister, but Jesse actually comes across as like serial killer.
A little bit. A little bit.
You know, like, I'm not going to want to be alone with you ever.
Like, has a condo where he brings other women and, yeah.
Oh, yeah. To kill, right?
Yeah. After he uses
them. I thought you meant, like, Dexter style.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, Janet explains what she really said. And she says, you know, Michelle was talking about a bill that was being passed. It's called the Don't Say Gay Laws. Mm-hmm. And in regards to the LGBTQ plus community, obviously. And Janet advised Jasmine in an attempt to perhaps make it a teachable moment for Michelle. Like, if it ever comes up, maybe you can educate her on this bill. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. So it's not that they think Michelle is a Republican and she's racist. It's that they think she's a Republican and she's homophobic.
Uh-huh.
I was not expecting that, honestly. That threw me for a little bit of a loop. I think it's kind of interesting because I know myself, and I know you as well, have had experiences these past 4 or 5 yeah. years of people going down rabbit holes, like in my life, where your algorithm really does start to affect your belief system. And you start to hear people that you love saying some very crazy things. So I did believe this. My gut instinct is this is what really happened. Janet did yeah. hear Michelle say, like, oh, you know, I saw this and it does protect kids. And that would have been very alarming to a lot of people, Janet included. And Janet wanted to warn her friends, like, if this comes up again, I think we should really try to, like, educate her or try
yes.
to give her
yes.
a different way of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciated Janet's honesty. I do feel like there is a lack of ownership, though, in regards to what was really said, because then at dinner, she doesn't imply anything was said, but it was, and they're all kind of protecting it.
Is that because she doesn't want to come out and say
for sure
you were being a little bit homophobic?
For sure. Of course. But now they're blaming Kristen, who kind of
Kristen
ran
got it
with
twisted.
She I did.
I just don't know for sure if Zach did the twisting or if
right.
Kristen got it twisted.
Or was it said to Zach differently because he is part of the LGBTQ plus community? Was it said differently to him?
I think my gut instinct is that it was in between Zach and Kristen where the twisting happened.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that old man Luke had it in him
Dude.
To stand up like he did for Kristen.
He's got some anger.
He does, which makes me think he's a good match for Kristen.
Like, totally. The more I see of him, the more I'm surprised by him. I'm like, oh, okay, go off.
I've learned some disturbing things about him.
Like, what?
Okay, this is all, I might be getting it twisted myself now, you guys playing a game of telephone. But I have read accounts of like their podcast together and things that they've talked about. And apparently he's pretty open with the fact that like he full on gives her the silent treatment when she's not in the mood for sex, like things like that. Yeah. Very uncomfortable things to learn about a man.
Wow. Okay.
So I do think in some ways he's good for her, but I'm a little bit worried that in some ways he's also not good for her.
You want like a positive influence around Kristen because I really do feel like she absorbs who is around her. And then someone like that could just make her more angry and upset and then take it out and, oh, I don't know. We'll see. But the anger, the level of anger and the quickness to anger from Luke was a bit of a red flag. Like, Jesse is a walking, talking red flag.
Well, I was going to say the quickness to anger of Jesse.
Yes.
Like slamming on the table. If I was in Luke's shoes and a man was coming after my partner like that, very aggressively right off the bat, I have to say I would be a little bit aggressive back.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
That would have rubbed me the wrong way because he was immediately aggressive. But Jesse, everyone expects that from him. Nobody expects
yes.
it from Luke. We also got to talk about, well, actually, no, I'm going to frame this as a question for you. How did you think, what did you think of Zach's reaction to
guilty? Yes. Guilty as charged.
See, you should have gotten on jury duty. I think you're a great judge of character. He seems guilty. So guilty.
I mean, my God, I'm like, Zach, you're trying too hard and not enough simultaneously. He's like, me? Like, clutching
me?
His pearls?
He won't look anybody in the eye, and yet his eyes are, like, enormous.
Enormous.
Yeah.
The whole thing. But then, after Kristen throws him under the bus again publicly, she's like, well, you know, I just shouldn't have said it. Because, you know, I only said it because I was backed into a corner. but I just never should have said it out loud. And I think that is the whole consensus that happened amongst this group until it left Zach's lips to Kristen's ears. And she's like, free game.
But that ties back to where he says Kristen can't keep a secret.
Yeah.
And Kristen is now thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said it, but I said it out loud. The thing that just really struck me as strange and a little bit odd, why does Kristen even want to touch this with a 10-foot pole? Dude. Did you notice Jax did not say a single fucking word throughout this entire
or
thing?
Or Brittany.
Or Brittany, when usually they would be all up in this fight and trying to make it about themselves and involve themselves. But both of them sitting there mute.
If those two have the fucking sense to zip their lips about this very sensitive subject that is going to be aired on television while they're sitting in front of their Black friend, who is just beside herself with disgust, then Kristen, what is the point? And I honestly kept getting the vibe it was to somehow mention, apologize, bring up what happened with her and Faith.
There are way better ways to do that.
Way better. But Kristen can't say sorry without highlighting someone else's flaws. It has always been her thing. She is so vengeful.
This might have worked had it actually been based on something or somebody who was actually racist and that Kristen was trying to bring it to light. The fact that Kristen didn't really know for sure and was basing all of this off of an insinuation and made this into what it is on camera after what she went through, like after being fired from Vanderpump Rules, it is wild to me that she would so nonchalantly throw that word around to somebody else.
It really has proven she's learned nothing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
and
so.
It's not going to work in her favor.
No.
This could be cancellation part two in order here.
I was a little bit, it's weird to say that I'm shocked by anything Kristen does, but I kind of was.
I know.
Yeah.
So was I. I knew there was a motive. There's a motive here. And whether that's to distract from herself and assign blame to someone, or if it's her way of making this an opportunity to talk about her own experience, okay. But you could have just come out and said it.
I think that would have played out a lot better for her if that was the route that she took.
Very sensitive subject, for sure. And Nia was defending Kristen. Did you notice that?
In this moment at the dinner?
Yeah.
No, I didn't notice. What was she saying?
When Jesse was like going after her, she's like, no, Kristen just got it mixed up. Don't blame her. I'm like, oh, okay.
I wonder if that was more of a reaction to
Jesse.
His like volatile behavior. Like, I think as a group, they're all kind of used to that. Like the banging on the table.
The hand in the face to Michelle.
Yeah. When he was like, shut, like, stop talking.
Yes. That would have been it for me. I'd broken his fucking hand.
He literally was like, stop talking. And he's like, you disrespect my family. Like, he's a fucking godfather.
My business. It was all about his business. That's all he cared about. He's claiming to care about Michelle. No. He's like, you could have really damaged our business.
You ruined my life. Like,
he sucks.
Is a real villain.
Yep.
I'm super glad they got divorced. I do wonder if they had like an agreement. Like, let's let our divorce play out on camera.
Because this is episode 3 and then couples counseling.
Yes. Yeah.
I kind of felt the same way. Well, we'll see how it goes. I do feel real emotion from her though. That's what I miss. Can I just say something, side note? These people who have never been on reality TV before, who are now on it, I'm like, I miss this. I miss these honest, genuine, non-scripted reactions and storylines.
Not guarded.
Yeah. I that's why I enjoyed the show, and I wonder if others agree.
That's probably exactly what people are responding to, is the messy quality. That after you get through a few seasons as a reality person, you learn what to say, what not to say, how to protect yourself, how to behave in public. Like, it becomes a little bit more guarded, and it's nice to have something be a little bit. But I mean, then you have storylines like we have right now with Kristen, who is also someone who should probably be a little bit more guarded. So for what real. Am I even talking about? Yeah.
My God. That's the thing with her. But anyway, that is the Valley, guys. We hope you are enjoying it like we are.
Yeah.
Despite the sensitivity.
We'll be back at the end of the week on Friday with our Summer House recap. So make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button and get a notification for that.
And we hope you guys have a good few days. Love you guys. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
And until then, stay truthful.
But not hopeless. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Have fun.
Love you.
Be happy. Oh, no, don't be. No, that's mansplaining. Smile.
Just be whatever.
Just be you.
Just be.
Just be. just be.